here being intentionally fearless every third Saturday of the month as part of the Every Woman programming on KKFI. My name is Carolyn Hammond, and today we're going to be talking about what is your superpower and how you use it. The beauty of today is I get to talk about my superpower, but I get to do it in the context of how people can participate, be an advocate, be a good friend, be a good family member, and work with the people in your life, whether personally or professionally, that need help in navigating domestic violence, toxicity, abuse, and all the ugly tentacles that people are experiencing in the world. Here's the deal. We know that 60% of the population faces domestic violence issues, and that ranges from emotional to verbal to physical to financial abuse, all the ugly tentacles. It reaches out to children and to pets, and it touches every life. So we're going to do some housekeeping around that. And I want to say we're going to be talking about some of the dynamics of domestic violence and how that shows up in people's lives. But we're also going to be talking about the solutions that people can implement so that they themselves can be safe, so that the people they love can be safe, and so that folks can find the right information and resources they need for that particular moment in time in order for them to be safe, not only for themselves, but their children and their pets as well. Want to say that those trigger warnings are going to be present here. So if there is a concern or there's an issue or you need immediate help, one of the things that you can do immediately is reach out to the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. Now, the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence runs a 24-hour hotline, and that hotline is staffed with people who speak over 147 different languages, so they are available to help. So if anything that we're discussing today is a trigger for you, you can call 1-800-799-7233. Again, that's 1-800-799-7233. You can dial that if you need additional immediate resources right now, or if something that we're going to be talking about sparks a memory or triggers something within you that you need immediate assistance and someone to talk to right away. One of the beautiful things about Intentionally Fearless being run through Every Woman is that we usually have Fiona or Una here with us running the board. Amazing, amazing women who've invited me into their circle to host this show every third Saturday. They're not here today, but who we have in the engineering station is Kate. So Kate and I are going to work together to bring the resources and talk about the solutions that are possible when facing domestic violence. We're going to go back and forth because what we want to do is have the conversations, what it looks like, but the solutions as well. And to that end, I've created a PDF for any listener today or anyone who watches or hears this on repeat. You can contact me at Caroline, C-A-R-O-L-I-N-E, at safeinharmsway.org. So that's S-A-F-E-I-N-H-A-R-M-S-W-A-Y.org. Caroline at safeinharmsway.org. And I will send you a free downloadable PDF that has every resource you would need to carry this conversation personally or professionally, either with your coworkers or your family and friends. So let's jump in to what it looks like. And we're going to cover four different parts today. The first part we're going to cover is how do you interact with someone when you fear they're experiencing domestic violence or they've experienced some kind of sexual assault, again, all tied to domestic violence. How do you even engage someone in that realm? The first thing that you can do is start by believing. And we're actually going to cover four different ways to start the conversation. The first is start by believing. Start by believing means that if someone comes to you and has a discussion and says, look, this is happening to me, even if it seems absolutely insane. And most especially, even if you think to yourself, wow, well, that person has never treated me that way. It's not what you say to someone who comes and confides in you. And there's two arms to this start by believing. The first arm is if you are in the receiving end of getting somebody's story, that start by believing, when you implement it, means that that person knows you are a trusted and a safe person. It allows for that healing to begin instantly because someone is believed. The other part of that is when you start by believing, you give someone the ability to take the next step on their healing journey. And you give somebody the ability to seek safety and to seek health. And it's very important for those two parts to work together for someone who's experienced violence to be able to take the next right step. The other part of that is if you are someone who goes to a friend and says, hey, this is what happened to me, or, you know, a family member, hey, this is what happened to me, and you are speaking your truth and that person doesn't receive it in a kind way, that person blames you, that person shames you, you know instantly that that is not your person to tell anymore. You know instantly that that person isn't safe. Maybe it's because they don't have the capacity to understand. Maybe it's because they don't know anything about start by believing. But your story is meant to keep finding the right person who will help you. And if you find someone who can't or refuses, well, then that's your first sign to keep seeking other safe people. I'm going to pause for a minute there and say that part of my story of escaping violence is going to be weaved into these four different components of starting. And the reason that is I want folks, I know by storytelling that allows people to feel less alone in the world. And that's what we're going to be doing today, allow people to feel less alone in the world. I don't want anyone, I identify as female, my pronouns are she, her. I don't want that message to be lost because of the pronouns I use, because I know that domestic violence touches male lives, touches people who are gender fluid, touches people who identify in one way or another with different pronouns than what I would use. So I don't want that message to be lost based on pronouns, but we want to be respectful to that as well. So we're going to cover every dynamic of who could be facing abuse and what that looks like. So let me pause for a second. I'm going to ask Kate in the engineering booth. Kate, any questions or concerns that you have about what I've said so far?
No, I have no concerns at the moment. I will admit that I have been in this situation personally, and I think your advice is very good, that the first step is being willing to listen, and listen without judging. Just accept the story, because as soon as we judge, or as soon as we say, you know, if we know the person, and we offer that moment of disbelief, that rubs salt into the wound.
Exactly. Thank you for pointing that out, Kate, and thank you for sharing your own experience with that and peeling back a little the layers of yourself on that. I appreciate that. Anytime anyone speaks up, that's a value, because part of this navigating of abuse or toxicity is people deflect, even if they're covered in bruises, even if they've just been dismantled from the inside out by someone's words in the form of verbal abuse. People have so much shame, and no one wants to raise their hand and says, this happens to me. That's why we're going to be starting with these resources, so that everybody can become a safe haven. Domestic violence is the number one predictor of mass shootings. So if anybody listening to this thinks, oh gosh, domestic violence, that's not my problem. Domestic violence is the biggest indicator of mass shootings. So that means domestic violence goes into schools where children are killed. It goes into courtrooms where people are experiencing secondary abuse, but also where folks show up and have the the audacity to hurt anybody in a courtroom, the audacity to hurt anybody in a church. People, domestic violence seeps into schools, into churches, into courtrooms, into workplaces. It is the third most common way that people die at work. So if people are out there hearing this or they're reading the news and they're thinking, well, that's just somebody's business, and why doesn't that person just leave? And this doesn't affect me. Oh, but it does. People are dying every day, and the ancillary impact of domestic violence. And that's why it's really important to start by believing. I'm going to give one resource as we're leading up to a moment and a break that we're going to need to take. And that resource is to look at End Violence Against Women International, EVAWI.org. They have webinars. They have great instances where you can log on and you can get information about domestic violence and sexual assault. Safeinharmsway.org has a plethora of information. And these are all in the active links of PDFs that if anyone wanted to contact me at Caroline@safeinharmsway.org, you will get every resource from me. Domesticshelters.org allows you also to search by zip code into the resources in your community that you need. And LEDA Health, L-E-D-A, health.org allows you to find a wide range, especially for people within the LGBTQIA community and people who identify in whatever pronouns they want to use. There are healing circles that you can get into within a week that allows you to facilitate your healing. We'll review those when I come back, but I just wanted to throw that out, those resources of how important it is to know if you're filled with shame, if you're filled with sadness over what you've experienced, if someone you love is filled with shame or sadness as it relates to domestic violence, there are four immediate and actionable steps I just gave that allow for health to happen, that allow for healing to happen. And it's our first moment to start by believing. We're going to go now, I'm going to give it back to Kate in the engineering room, and she's going to take us into a break. And when we come back, we're going to review those resources and go into the next phase of what someone can do when they start to seek assistance related to toxicity and abuse. Thank you, Kate, so much for taking us into that pause and that moment. I appreciate you. And I appreciate you today being in the engineering booth. And it's lovely to have you. I have to say, anytime I love doing my third Saturday rotation through Intentionally Fearless, as an episode of Every Woman, I miss Fiona and Una because they're great contemporaries. They're great people. And so we're missing them today and sending them just a lot of love and care, knowing that we're here and they're out doing some things within their own lives. So Kate, thanks for being with me today.
You're welcome.
We began with start by believing. And let me add some nuance as to why that's important. And I'll weave my own story in. About 4 weeks away from my planned and paid for wedding, I discovered my fiance's secret life. I discovered what he was doing online with people. I discovered that without my knowledge and without my consent, he had been putting my pictures on the internet and offering me up to have sex with other people, that he had been arranging through a group that he joined on how to drug and incapacitate girlfriends and wives and watch while they were raped, that he had been planning some significant things for me without my knowledge, without my consent. And I stood there reading all these emails that began with, "My girlfriend has no idea I'm doing this," and ended with, "We can discuss and facilitate what could be done to her." It was discovering 8 years of this behavior, which I had zero idea was happening to me. I discovered nights that I didn't know I had been a part of. I discovered events where I didn't know I had participated in. And it landed me in the emergency room. And so what happened when my fiance stepped out of the emergency room and I met my cardiologist for the first time, because my heart had stopped beating. And when my fiance left the room, I poured out to my cardiologist everything I had discovered online. And it's insane because, like we talked about in the beginning, if I had gone to anyone and said, oh my gosh, this is happening, and they would have said, well, I don't think he would ever do anything like that. What if I'd never sought help? A response like that could mean people don't seek help, which could mean I would have been raped, I would have been killed, I would, all of these things. My cardiologist believed me. And when he believed me, in the face of this insane amount of evidence, and in the face of me as a snot-nosed, screaming, crying banshee, because I had discovered my entire life with this person had been a facade, and that most likely, based on all the things found on his computer, he was intending to allow me to be drugged and raped. And that cardiologist believed me. And that set me on a healing pattern. So him believing me and ensuring I was safe and helping me craft a safety plan changed the trajectory of my life. Had he not, I probably wouldn't have ever spoken it out loud. I would have hidden in shame. I wouldn't have ever said anything to anybody again. And the healing couldn't have happened. This is where I'd like to talk about one of the components of healing I brought up before, which is LEDA Health, L-E-D-A. You can Google that. LEDA Health specializes in helping you find what are called sane nurses. And sane nurses, so sexual, they are the nurses that, if you have to have a sexual exam because of assault or rape, anything related to your sexuality, they are trained to, in trauma-informed methods that allow you to be in control. When all of your control has been taken away, it allows a person to be in control of the examination that is often 3 hours plus long and involves very intimate questions. And so an advocate within a sane nurse is vital for that first part of healing. You can go to LEDA Health, and you can look up, you can plug in your zip code, and you can find every emergency room across the United States where sexual assault nurse examiners, sane nurses, are staffed. And you can choose which hospital to go to based on who has a nurse who is trained in trauma-informed examinations for anyone who has experienced sexual assault. This is vital because the way that sexual assault shows up in the heterosexual community versus in the queer community, versus even in people of color, the dynamics of sexual assault are so varied within those demographics that you need a sane nurse to do the examination to start that healing process. So if you are somebody who has experienced that part of violence, LEDA Health can be your first step in identifying what emergency room you go to in order to seek the services that you need. And again, they are trained people who deal with every demographic and the nuances and the specifics of those demographics of how sexual assault shows up. It's a vital resource. It's one of the resources that I refer to most often because of the care and the companionship and the community that they build, even with their healing circles, because it's really important if you're going to seek healing that it be done with someone who looks like you or identifies as you or is the same color of you or uses the same pronoun as you do. Those moments of healing are vital. And LEDA, L-E-D-A, Health, finds that for you in their programming. So you could immediately join a healing circle with people who use the same pronouns, with people who've had the same experiences, people who are trained to lead health and healing. You can join an accountability group. Again, people of the same color who use the same pronouns. All of that is vital to healing. All of that is vital to start by believing. That's a great way that you can have immediate and actionable steps. If you're listening to the Kansas City community, MOXA, is an amazing organization that works with trauma of sexual assaults. And there's a wait. because services are needed. I mean, in the state of Missouri alone, there were almost 29,000 people who sought help related to these kinds of services, domestic violence, sexual violence, all of it unmet. Because people make the decision to finally step out of their shame, and it's a 12-week period. Get on the waiting list still. Get on the waiting list still. And in the interim, use all these online services, whether it's Lead to Health, whether it's domesticshelters.org, whether it's safeinharmsway.org, whether it is EVAWI, End Violence Against Women International. And even though women is in there, they work with people in the queer community, they work with men. Even though you might have a wait for something local, you can still start by believing in your own healing by accessing these online services across the country that you can step into. Let me ask, I'm going to pause because Kate's going to be my barometer all day long. Kate, what about so far that we've talked about? What's your biggest takeaway? Is there a takeaway in anything I've said so far that you're like, oh, wow, that?
Well, I don't think I realized the sheer number of resources that were available. And so I'm definitely going to latch onto your PDF.
Exactly. And the PDF is created for people to have immediate and actionable steps. Again, if it's 2 a.m. in the morning, mm-hmm. and for the first time in your life, you would like to talk about what happened to you 10 years ago, these resources don't want you to have to wait. We don't want you to wait one more minute to talk about what happened to you 10 minutes ago, 10 years ago, two decades ago. We don't want you to have to wait. And so it's vital to know, and every time I talk about this, I get goosebumps. It is vital to know the number of people who care and want to be able to help is out there. So if it is one of your 2 a.m. moments, these resources are available for you to start by believing yourself, your journey, and then start the healing.
I think one of the things that I want to add is for a lot of us, you know, the first response is silence. There's a shame. There's a fear, or I did something to bring it on. And I just want a second go after these resources because I waited 40 years.
And people do. Thanks for sharing that, Kate. People do. You're not alone in that. And the fact you shared that now, thank you. I'm glad that you trust this process of what we're talking about enough and that you can say that out loud, because you've helped anybody who's listening who might have waited 20 years. You're helping anybody who's pondering what happened to them last night. And there is never a shame component that when you don't speak it out into the world, that light is cast on it and you are less alone in this journey. But remember to start by believing. Remember, if you as a person share that with someone and they negate your experience, worse yet, if they say, oh, 20 years ago, you can't get over that? That is not a safe person. That is not someone you share any moment of your story with again. It's all about them and not about you at that moment, even though you're on the receiving end of that experience, because there is nothing that could have been done differently. There is nothing you could have worn or not eaten or not drank or not experienced or what part of town you were in. Nothing, nothing about what was done to you is anything you could have changed. And by starting by believing, that's the biggest call out for that second arm. Remember, we talked about the first arm of, if you are somebody who you're being trusted with a story, it's your duty to start by believing. If you are the person who's decided after all these years or even 12 hours to share your story, if the person you say you confide in doesn't acknowledge, they're not your safe person. Find another one. Find another one and keep talking. In my own experience, Kate, I went from probably, 6 or 7 or 8 different people. And I decided, and this is a big call out that I share with folks. I decided that if someone said they couldn't help me, or that if someone didn't believe me, I wasn't really going to trust them again. If someone couldn't help me, because maybe they didn't have the capacity or the tools or the resource, because this PDF I've created, nobody has access to. It's not out there for anybody because people don't have it. So that's why I'm doing my best to go across the country talking to people about this so that everybody has the actionable and immediate steps to get help and be a help resource. I ended every conversation with people I talked with, if you can't help me, who is the next person I can talk with that you know? And every time I got another name. But you have to ask that question. You have to say, thank you for hearing my story. Thank you for receiving me today. If you can't help, who can? And people will rise to the occasion. Again, if they don't, they're not your trusted source. Keep talking until you find the people. And I know that's hard. To repeat my story again and again and again was difficult. But that's why these actionable and immediate steps within this PDF and what we're talking about today get you in front of people very quickly in the resources and availability to find the next folks you need. The part that I want to talk with next about, you know, we have four different ways. We started with start by believing. We start with the next way that we start is by realizing that diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice are vital. We touched on it a little bit before. The demographics of people and how either domestic violence shows up or how sexual assault shows up or how verbal or financial abuse are all different based on the individual. And while that seems like oh, really, Carolyn? That's obvious. The reality is a lot of people don't realize how obvious that is. Men who identify as gay, women of color, and transsexual females are least likely to report anything. Why is that? None of those, the people in who identify within those different demographics know what they will receive on the other end, because historically what has been received just in the general walk of life on the other end has not been good. So the fear is there. I just heard a great presentation given by another advocate in Kansas City. She said, it's as if everybody is a shark in the water. Even if you have a dolphin swimming in the midst of all those sharks, everybody is viewed as a shark because you don't know what you're going to get when you tell your story. Because historically, even anything in your life unrelated to trauma, violence, domestic violence, sexual assault has not been good. So it's really important to use the actionable and immediate resources that are available for people who identify in different ways or because of the color of their skin, to know that those resources are out there. Again, we refer back to Lead a Help. We refer back to Love Doesn't Hurt, and these are going to be all in any PDF that anybody wants. We refer back to domesticshelters.org, to safeinharmsway.org, to the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, and to the lastimsorry.com. And I'll say that last one a couple times. It's thelastimsorry.com. Thelastimsorry.com is the first innovative and one-of-a-kind tool that has never been done before that allows individuals to go on their journey. And by journey, it allows people to identify as to who they are. And it allows people to choose what exactly is going on in their life right now. And that website is set up for women, it's set up for men, it's set up for people of color, it's set up for people in the queer community, it's set up for people with English as a second language, for immigrants and the disabled, because violence, trauma, domestic violence, sexual assault shows up so differently in all of those demographics. And the lastimsorry.com allows people to identify as to who they are. It allows people to say, this is exactly what's happening to me now. And it spits out, after a series of questions, the most immediate next step that someone can take to get help. So we're not going to overwhelm people with, here's 10 things you got to do, but you're going to get one, and then that's going to need you to a second. And then that's going to lead you to a third. And you can start with thelastimsorry.com and get the resources you need. It's never been done before. Let me give you an example of why it's important if someone's disabled. An abuser will hide medicine that's needed for the functionality of life as a way to issue abuse. That's far different than a heterosexual woman experience. It's just the complexities are different. And that's why it has to be diverse in the resources that you can offer. It has to be equitable, because there are going to be some people that need to be even risen to a median level of getting assistance. So you have to take a little bit more time and care and attention and to lead them and navigate them through the systems. And you have to be able to do that so that they keep coming back. And those resources that I rattled off are the perfect way to do that. You have to be inclusive in how you look at where you show up in the world and where you can get resources, because you want to be able to include every demographic, every pronoun, every color of skin, everybody who has to use crutches to get around to a wheelchair to get around, and anybody who has entered into this country in a legal way but still could face the taunt of, I'll have you deported if you speak up. What's needed there is going to have to be raised equitably. It's going to have to be included. And it's going to have to make sure that all those diverse needs and attentions are met. So being the person that helps seek justice with diversity, equity, and inclusion in mind is the second way to start the conversations, to start the facilitation of resources, and to start the healing journey for people who are experiencing those many layers of abuse. Kate, any big learnings and aha moments from our second component of start by using diversity, equity, inclusion, and injustice?
I don't know about an aha moment, but I do kind of want to backtrack a little bit to your comment about whether it was 20 years or 40 years or 12 hours.
Sure.
What I think happens, and I will just say what happened to me, is, you know, it was repressed, but then it found ways to come out in other ways that weren't healthy for me or my current relationships. So I know I'm backtracking a little bit on this, but it's don't let anybody tell you it's been 20 years and you're still, it will find a way out.
Kate, I'm so glad you brought that up. I would love to, is it okay if we peel back the layers of what you just brought up a little bit?
Yeah, we can peel them back a little bit.
Yeah, thank you for allowing that. And I'll share as well. Whatever served you in your brain and body to carry you through the experience is beautiful. It also could be the very thing that is your undoing.
Mm-hmm.
And after so many years, I just was talking to a group of people about this. You've been able, even if the foundation of your life is crumbling, you've been able to walk along, put it somewhere in your brain or body stored, and step in the right potholes of that crumbling foundation until the point when you can't anymore. And people think that that's almost a failure. Well, wait a minute, why can't I still keep holding myself together? Why can't I get myself locked down? Why can't I function in the way I did before? It's because your brain and your body have stored that trauma and it's fighting its way out.
Mm-hmm.
And what served you all those years is not going to serve you anymore.
As I describe it, I lost my ability to compartmentalize. Or as my wife describes it, I lost my ability to stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had people say to me, you know, I would rather keep sweeping all of this under the rug in the living room. And I don't care if I trip over that rug every time I get up to go into the bathroom. I will trip over that rug all day long, and I will keep piling things under the rug until it is as big as an elephant, and I will then topple over that elephant-sized thing under my rug, and I'm fine with that, because throwing back the rug and sweeping out all of those things I've buried, I don't wanna. And that manifests itself in other ways. For me, it manifested itself in drinking way too much and overeating. I mean, I wasn't going to have 10 potato jalapeno crunchers chips. I was going to have the whole bag. And that affected every part of my working life, of my professional life. If you choose to wait, there's no shame in that, because you're processing at the rate you can. But also, I have found in my years of advocacy that it's more the fear of actually having to process what happened to you. And that fear and that shame goes away when you realize there are stories to be told and other people who've experienced it. And you may take from somebody's story a tiny kernel that fits yours, and you may take from another person's story a small novel of how it impacts, of how it reflects yours. But taking those stories is an important part. There's some great compilation books out there that people can read. One book is called Hashtags. It's like the actual hashtag, She Wins Too. It's a collection of domestic violence stories. You can find it on Amazon. And you can look at those stories and read the collections of those stories so that you feel less alone in the world. There's also Dragon Slayers Wear Lipstick. Dragon Slayers Wear Lipstick is a compilation book of people who've survived any number of things, whether it's sexual assault or alcoholism or body shaming or racism or body dysmorphia, domestic violence, all kinds of stories that you can read and share. And even doing a quick Audible search on Amazon will find you those stories. You will be amazed at what you find when you use hashtags relative to what you want to find about. Even a hashtag search in Audible will bring up, if you hashtag sexual assault, if you hashtag rape, if you hashtag domestic violence, you're going to come up with a range of books to read and stories. SafeInHarm'sWay.org has tons of stories. National Coalition Against Domestic Violence has tons of survivor stories that you can log on online and read about what other people have experienced, so that you feel less shame and alone in the world, and that you can start to realize what you've been carrying that you thought was the only person in the world carrying such a huge load. You are not alone in that journey. And not being alone is the huge, if you're on a pogo stick, you are like able to jump from one end of a baseball stadium to the other in healing on a pogo stick when you realize you are not alone in the world. And those books are great. I'll keep saying it, they'll all be listed in the resources that people can find and download. You can download them free on the library app and be able to listen to them or read them on a Kindle. And you can find them and check them out of the library so that we can do it in a most cost-effective way as well. The part that I love that you said about relationships, Kate, is it okay if we talk about that too?
Yeah, it's fine.
And you can share if you want, or if not, I can expand, but is there one or two ways that you feel as if it affected negatively your relationships?
Well, it's one of those things with me that was always under the surface. And so there was probably, it would be easier for me to become angry. Mm-hmm. It would be easier for me to get upset at nothing. And that was probably a very common way. Hang on a second. We've got fire trucks.
Sure.
Sorry, folks, the joys of live radio when you have the Kansas City Fire Department running down the street. It created an edginess or an irritation for me. And we've got to come up to a break here in a couple of minutes. So I just wanted to add, I'm still working on it. Mm-hmm. I'm still in therapy. And as bad as it was, and you had commented earlier about the fear of what you're going to go through dealing with it, I will tell you from my experience, that is some of the hardest work I have ever done. But I also have to say, getting it out and getting it resolved and getting it dealt with has made me a happier person with things that don't bug me so much.
Kate, thank you so much for sharing that. I know you're going to lead us into a break. When we come back, let's wrap that up, because what you said, I could highlight with a marching band and fireworks of bravo, bravo.
So, well, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And I appreciate your candor in it. When we come back, we're going to talk about that hard work, because a lot of people that I work with across the country and internationally, I've had the great honor of work with people across the world, is that people think they're failing because it's taking them a lifetime. The beauty is, you are marvelous because it is taking you a lifetime. And that's where we want to play. I'd love to spend some time talking about that when we come back, because that's the most beautiful part that we could have the opportunity for people to wrap their minds around.
Okay. Well, I look forward to sharing that with you. So we're going to take a break here, and we will be back in about a minute, 15 seconds.
Thank you. Kate, thank you so much for taking us into that break. I appreciate it. And I appreciate everything you're contributing to the conversation today. I appreciate your work in the engineer booth. I appreciate you. Before we left to break, Kate brought up a big aha moment, which is that even after all these years, you said 20 years, you're still working to heal. You're still in the process of working through all of that.
Mm-hmm. I am. Little bit of background. My situation was sexual abuse as a child, not to go into a whole lot of details. And while it was compartmentalized or stuffed, I talked a little bit about, you know, it was under there, and it would affect how I would relate. And what put me over the edge to actually have to finally start dealing with this and dealing with it for myself was, for some strange reason, my body started acting out dreams at night. It's the medical term for it is parasomnia. Mm-hmm. And one of those dreams could have potentially been really violent and could have hurt somebody very dear to me. And it was like, I can't do this anymore. Right. This is the end. I have got to get this dealt with. And exactly. That was the trigger point for me.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And you brought up a great word with trigger. So we're having some big conversations this afternoon. If anyone, by listening to this, is having a trigger moment, the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence handles every component of abuse, assault, regardless of age. That number is 1-800-799-7233. Again, 1-800-799-7233. And you can call that number 24/7. There are close to 150 different languages spoken, all diverse people that are ready to help. And you can call, again, no matter if it's 12 hours, 12 years, 24 years, you can call and have those conversations. The part of healing that we talked about, an elephant-sized, pile underneath the rug that everybody trips over. When you make that investment in yourself to seek the help and healing, it is hard. You said it perfectly, Kate. It is the hardest work you're ever going to have to do. And you're amazingly worth it to invest in yourself to do it. if you're in the Kansas City community, MOCSA, M-O-C-S-A, will work with you. They will work with your family, because we know that, that the violence that people experience as children or as adults affects everybody in your family. And they will work with everyone to ensure that the best, healthiest outcomes are there and navigate the trajectory of that. We talked about a shattering foundation and you're stepping in the right potholes. What happens if you step in the wrong pothole and you fall down a rabbit hole that leads to needing more assistance? There are organizations like MOCSA all around the country. You can use domesticshelters.org to plug in your zip code, and up will pop all the different resources in your specific zip code that you can go to. There might be waits. Don't let that stop you. Sign up. Time is going to pass anyway. And then use the online services such as Lita Health, such as Healing the Wound. That's the services and the therapy options that we offer that can be offered at Safe in Harm's Way. There are coaches out there, trauma-informed coaches that work with this, that you can use as you navigate the entirety of the healing and any wait times that might be associated. But the investment you make in yourself is grand. And it comes out in better relationships and healthier choices and not being so trigger-haired. I remember I was getting something out of my car once, and the pizza had been delivered, and my youngest son came running up to me and was joking around. And I was leaning into my car, and he brought up the pizza. And he's like, "Mom, I got pizza." And I instantly burst into tears, and I couldn't stop shaking. And he set the pizzas down. And he said, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. What did I do? I'm so sorry." My body reacted to that startling, him coming up from behind me, and I couldn't breathe. Your body reacts. That doesn't mean I failed. It doesn't mean that my therapy failed. It doesn't mean that I was the biggest shame-filled loser because I couldn't gain control of myself. It meant that I could keep doing the work in my healing process, and that kind of response could get less and less, but only if I keep doing my healing response. And just as we started by believing and saying that if you go to someone and you don't get a response you need, the same goes for therapy. If you don't resonate with a therapist you've found, find another. If you don't resonate with a resource that you've found, find another. And I know, again, retelling of the story is hard. There's a great app that you can use if you've been a victim of a sexual assault, and it's called Seek Then Speak. It's an app that you can start recording your experiences. It's only for you until you decide that you want to turn it over to any authorities, and you can start documenting things as you remember them. Seek Then Speak. You can look that up, and it'll be in the PDF form if you reach out to me at caroline@safeinharmsway.org, and I'll give you a free downloadable PDF. Seek Then Speak allows you to document what's happening. And then at the point, if you would choose to turn it over to authorities and with the hope of prosecuting any assault, any person who did harm, you can use that in court admissible form. That's how it's documented. That's the beauty. If you think documenting it in a notebook with a time and date stamp is going to get admissible in court, most likely not. But this app is done in a way that you can record it and it's admissible in court. If you're experiencing domestic violence and you think, "Oh my gosh, I have to document by what's happening to me, to my kids, to my pets," Victim's Voice app, you can go online and see there. There's, I know, Safe in Harm's Way, New House Shelters in Kansas City. There are people across the country where you can get this app for free. You just have to contact the people. You have to look at their partners at the Victim's Voice app and find the partners that will give it to you for free. That documents every form of abuse. And because we know that abusers don't just target their immediate family prey, but target grandparents, cousins, uncles, aunts, those people can also use Victim's Voice app and get everything admitted into court. In a court admissible form that allows that evidence to be there. And then in a worst case scenario, if something happens to you, you have a trusted soul that you can designate, and that person can upload all that evidence into the court system and share it with lawyers and law enforcement. So Victims Voice app and Seek Then Speak are immediate and actionable items that lead us into our next component of start with safety, start with community. When you start with safety and documenting what's happening with you by using Victims Voice app, by using Seek Then Speak, that gives back your power and control by documenting what happens to you as your brain lets it go or as it starts to remember. As you start to remember, sometimes that comes out in your dreams, as Kate talked about. That sometimes is how it evolves. But you can immediately and action quickly with those apps, again, Victims Voice app and Seek Then Speak, to document what has happened to you in court admissible form. You can use that in ways that allow you to then talk to the sane nurse that might do your exam, that talk to the ER physician that might see you when you walk through the door. You can use that tool to gain back your power and control, because chances are, if you've dealt with those kinds of things, you might not remember the most basic information. When I was navigating that abuse and the escape from it and the fallout after, between going to multiple doctor's appointments, to the FBI, to lawyers, to every position that I had to have, there were days I couldn't remember my name. I had to write my name on a post-it note. I remember standing in front of a receptionist and she said, "What time's your appointment and what's your name?" And I stood there and I couldn't remember my name. Again, I'm not failing at life, processing some heavy lifts. So if you can take back your control by using these apps to document who, what, and when it happened to you, then your brain can start to process better and you can seek the services, the help, the trusted people you need, and able to get the help and the healing that happens. And if it means that you have 27 great days in a row and 2 days where it's really hard to get out of bed, you are also not failing. You are actually allowing your body and your brain to process what it has lived through. And there is no shame in the fact that you need a lot more naps, a lot more water, a lot more healthy food in your body, and a lot more rest as you do this healing work. So I want to call out, as we're getting close to our time together to be ending, if you'd like to have these resources that we've talked about, you just send me an email at caroline@safeinharmsway.org. So Caroline, C-A-R-O-L-I-N-E, at safe, S-A-F-E-I-N, H-A-R-M-S, way, W-A-Y.org. And you can get the free downloadable PDF. And you can also use, if you've had anything today that really causes anxiety, remember that the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence sponsors the hotline. The hotline is 1-800-799-7233. There are people across this country, immediate and actionable steps that will help you get what you need. Safeinharmsway.org, thelastimsorry.com, domesticshelters.org, leadahealth.org, Victims Voice app, Seek Then Speak, End Violence Against Women International, so EVAWI.org. Also deals not only with women, but men and people in the queer community. You have immediate and actionable resources that can be happening today for you, or if you are a friend or family member or coworker, then you have the ability to get those that help too and be the person, the trusted person who believes. Let's end with why we're discussing this. Domestic violence, sexual assault are not an immediate individual kept in shame and silence. It is the number one way police officers are killed responding to those kinds of calls. It is the third largest way that people are killed in the workplace, the third most common way that people are killed in the workplace. Homicide in this country is the leading cause of death in pregnancy at 2 times the rate of any placenta or blood problem within delivery. Domestic violence is the single biggest indicator of mass shootings seeping into schools, churches, places of employment. When you go to the mall, if people think that they are alone in this journey, they are not. Because domestic violence, in all its ugly tentacles, affects all those components. It affects children. 90% of the time, abusers will maim, injure, and kill the family pet. These are not silos. This is not darkness. This is not shame. And the more we as either A, speak our truth, and the more as friends and family, we say, we believe you, then we start to heal and change the world. So thanks for today. Thanks to Una and Fiona for having me. And thanks to Kate for being in the engineering booth.
90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City, Community Radio. Streaming online at www.